talk about here. I want to dictate half of the Shia, or a third of the Shia, to Parshas Nosoi, and the rest of it to Shavuos. Okay? No, the battery's gone. It's working fine the whole day.
It's always gone there.
Okay. The Parsha starts off, Parshas Nosoi. Starts off, it's a very, very interesting Parsha. What a fine shotgun over here. The Parsha starts off with the concepts of of Nazir. Yeah, Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph. Talk about the dinim of Nazir. The Dabe Hashem Moshe Lemer Isha ki yafli ninver neder Nazir lehazir Hashem. This is an Isha Isha. There's a story a fellow wrote to the Briskerov. He brought Raya in the Rambam that woman can be a Nazira. But Raya and Rambam could be Nazira, Dukim in the Rambam. So Briskerov wrote back to him, Ein the Sefer Katan Ushmoy Chumish. Look at a little book, and it's called the Chumash. Parashat Vav, Pasuk Beis. Ish oy isho, ki yafli nindo neidat Hashem. A woman, man or woman who can be a neidat Hashem. Ish oy isho ki yafli. Anyone done Chumash this week? Yafli. Yafli? What's the word? What's it mean?
It doesn't
mean miscarried,
does it?
Yafli. Yafli. Somebody, yafli. Yeah, I haven't got that far.
Yafrish.
Ashiyotai. I'm sure probably some of you have said Ashiyotai. Pele, ki yafli, yeah? And Hashem says actually yafli, yeah? Yafli is a pele. Pele means unbelievable. Torah looks at that as unbelievable. Ki yafli is wonderful. Lindo neder nazir lehazir Hashem. Lindo neder to make a nazir, to become a nazir to Hashem. Wonderful. And that's what Torah looks at this as something that's wonderful, something that's fantastic. On the other hand, the Gemara says that a person who makes a neder ki'ilu bono bomo, it's as if he has created a bomo. A bomo is a mizbeach that is forbidden to make a mizbeach outside of the mizbeach that's in the base of Mikdosh. In a time it was also to have a bomo, yeah, kala neder ki'ilu bono bomo, it's if you built a bomo, a kind of a mizbeach in the time it's also to make a mizbeach. And kolam ekaimo, whoever keeps a neder, which means it does not mavakel it, ki'ilu, it's as if he was makriv, as if he sacrificed a korban on it. Which means it's a terrible, terrible thing to sacrifice a korban on a bomo, on a mizbeach outside the base of Mikdosh, is an issa deraisa, or something called, shchutichutz, of shechting a korban outside the base of Mikdosh, when he made it hektush. And that's how the Torah connects a person who makes a neder and a person who continues following in his neder. What a terrible thing it is. So it's a stira. On one hand we see it's a wonderful thing, on the other hand we see it's a terrible thing. So how do we reconcile this? So the Mephoshim say that there's a story, they'll give a moshel. There was once a fellow who two neighbours, and they lived in a little dusty cold little village in Poland, and they both had daughters to marry off. Both the daughters come into marriageable age, 13, 14, 15. A few years time they were going to marry off their kids, and you've got to put money aside. One was a plumber and one was a thief. So the plumber starts putting money aside every week. He takes a copper and puts it into this money box, and the thief sees after a while, his neighbour sees that he's got quite a bit of money in his house. He says, it's wonderful, what's that money for? He says, for my daughter to marry off. He says, oh, I wish I did the same thing. So he says, why don't you get a money box, put a lock on it, give the key to somebody else, and that way you'll have money. When the time comes, you'll have money to pay for your daughter's wedding. He said, no, it won't work for me. He says, why not? Because I know how to pick locks. And therefore, I see money inside. I'll pick the lock and I'll take the money. You don't know how to pick locks. And therefore, the money that you put inside is safe. And therefore, that's why you're going to have the money in the correct time to pay for your daughter's wedding. Me, I see money inside. I'll need it. I need a cigarette. I need a bottle of thing. I'll break open the box and I'll take it. He said, that's the difference between a person who's ki yafli ninda nedil Hashem, a person who makes a wonderful thing making a nazir to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or a person who is ki'ila bono bono, who built a bono. A person who knows that they can make a Kabbalah, that they can make a commitment, they take on something, and they're serious about it, and they're absolutely convinced, that they know, they trust themselves, that they can take on something and it's going to remain. That's a wonderful thing to make Kabbalahs. It's a wonderful thing to commit yourself to a project, to finish Shisha Sidrim Mishnah, to finish Chumash, to finish Shas. It's a wonderful thing not to speak Lashon Hara for 4 hours a day, that's fine. But a person who can't deal with Kabbalahs, a person who picks locks, a person who can't commit himself to something serious, for him to make a commitment is something that's going to destroy him. Because what's going to happen is he's going to make a commitment, and then he's going to go, oh, yeah, okay, you know, he'll go off the commitment and he won't fulfill it, and then he won't take himself seriously, and next time he makes a commitment, for sure he won't take himself seriously. Everything he's taken on will be in the back of his mind, knowing that, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not going to really fulfill it, and who knows, and this and that. Such a person should take on very, very small Kabbalahs at very rare situations. A Kabbalah is a commitment. You know, people make on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you know, they stand in Yom Kippur and they feel mamish as if they've got wings, and they're flying, and they're finished. From now on, I'm going to make sure that every single Seder in Yeshiva is going to be done with mamish hasmoda. Every Seder is going to be the Chavrus, not going to speak any Devarim B'Tei in the middle of learning, and it's going to be on time and finish on time. Lashon Hara, you know what Lashon Hara is? Lavim and Essen and Ruim, forget about Lashon Hara. Baruch is going to be with Kavanah Shmona Esrei. And I make Kabbalahs. It gets the next day. You go to the airport on the way home, and lost everything. Boom. So you make a Kabbalah, whatever happens, I'm going to learn for 15 minutes a day, I'm going to learn Musa. Anyone can learn 15 minutes a day Musa. Shaykh. And that's a Kabbalah, and you stick to it, and eventually you'll realize that what's teaching you, they can make bigger Kabbalahs. But Reb Shach, I once had a friend who went to Reb Shach, it was before Yom Kippur, and he asked Reb Shach what Kabbalah he should make. He's a very good boy. Reb Shach said, make a big Kabbalah. So what's a big Kabbalah? They're always your bench and the bencher. So he says, Reb Shach is a big Kabbalah? He says, yeah, that's a greater Kabbalah. That's a big Kabbalah. That's a big Kabbalah. Every time you bench and the bencher, that's it. That's a Kabbalah.
They said that about himself.
No, they asked him. My friend asked him what Kabbalah should be. Mm-hmm. He said he should. First hand story. Right? Okay, second hand, because he told me a story. I need to be very honest. So that is Yafli Linda Neda Lashem. The Pasuk carries on, the Pasuk tells us, it carries on and into the Sugya here of Rachmana Litzlan, of a. The Pasuk not beforehand, the Pasuk before, sorry, it talks about a Isha Soter. An Isha Soter, you all know what Isha Soter is. It's a woman who, Rachmana Litzlan, is an Isha Soter, she's married, and she has an illicit affair with another man, other than her husband. Okay? And the husband warns her, do not go into solitude with this person, and there's no Edim. What's that?
Suspected illicit affair.
Okay, yes, suspected, yes. Do not go into solitude with this gentleman, do not speak to him, do not go into solitude. And eventually, they have Aiden, or one aid, with Machlokes and the Gemara, that they actually see her going into solitude with this man. They have no idea, they don't know whether an Avera was done or not. They do not know whether they actually had an Avera or not, we don't know. So, the halacha is with a shepherd to the place of Mikdosh, and you take the Maim Amorim, you take the water, and you give her to drink, and the whole process of busha, you give her terrible animal food to eat, and like her korban is like a korban of an animal of sa'urim, and you rip her clothes off her, and you pull her hair down, and everyone, terrible, terrible bushes, terrible. If she in fact did something wrong, then what happens is she literally blows up, and her husband, not the husband, their man, who has an affair, also blows up as well. As far as I remember, it was with a Chasson Sefer. The Chasson Sefer, in his Beis Din, as a woman, in Chasson Sefer lived in Hungary, in Pressburg, and there's a woman who was misbehaving in town. So Hasan brought her to the Chasson Sefer's Beis Din, and he read out for her this parasha of Sefer, and as he's reading out, everything that is described over here in the parasha actually happened to her. Her stomach started to fall, and she actually blew up. So the story to bring over from the Adi Re'ir, this story actually happened in the base on the Chasson Sefer.
What happened to the guy?
I don't know.
Who
cleaned it up? I'm sure they got the, you know.
No, but I think she blew up.
Blow up doesn't. And then suddenly there's like a big splat in the window. What it means is that her whole inside collapsed. They completely collapsed, right? Now, What happens if she didn't do anything wrong?
She goes down.
Says the Gemara, what happens if didn't do anything wrong, and in fact she was suspected falsely? Says the Gemara that what will happen to her is that if she'd never had children beforehand or difficulty in having children, she'll now have an easy time having children. If she had children beforehand, now the children she'll have from now on will be more beautiful, etc., etc. She'll have very healthy, beautiful children. Asks the Bali Musa a wonderful, wonderful question. My favourite Vatari this. Not much more favourites. Don't understand. Why does this woman deserve, if she did not do anything wrong, to get a reward? If she had never had children, she'd get children. And if she had children, now she'll have more beautiful children. If she had a difficult labour, now she'll have an easy labour. The Gemara says, by the way, that was Shmuel. His mother was
Chana.
Chana wanted to make herself ki'iru, like a sefer. In order, she made with her husband, O'Connor, that if not, that way, she'd be able to, she'd have children. People, it was like sort of an incentive. Yeah? What kind of thing is this? At the end of the day, you're dealing with a woman who's being disloyal to her husband, hanging out with a milkman, yeah? Or whatever, right? And suddenly, she didn't get a flying, you know what, she never had, but what she's been, Issa Yichud. Issa Yichud is also Issa. And she's hanging out, a Jewish woman hanging out with somebody else, so she hasn't done that there. But it's a yichud. And for that, because she's suspected wrongly, she gets wonderful children. Answers, I'm not sure who it was, but Mashkiach and Yetzer said this. He said there's such a Yetzer called the Im Kvar as Kvar Yetzer. If already, then already. What does that mean? Lemoshel, a person davening Shemona Esrei.
Im
Kvar as Kvar. If already, then already. A person having Shemana Esrei, and the usual Shemana Esrei, he starts off Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. So have like a fuse. If something fuses, yeah. In case you have too much current, it fuses, and then you start thinking about if you're not sure you paid electricity bill. If you did pay electricity bill, where did money come from? Ah, that's right. I took that money from my birthday money. Wow, my birthday. Can't believe it's only 15 years since my bar mitzvah. Or my mitzvah something special. Oh, it's very sad. Aunt Agatha died. She was at the mitzvah. She's not around anymore. Wow, neither is Uncle Bob. And eventually, Slachlonu, yeah, Re'evan Yenu, Rafa'enu. Ooh, talking about Uncle Bob. You're right, my cousin's not that well. You're awesome with Fanecha. You know what? Come on. It's ridiculous. Rafa'enu, I'll say Rafa'enu before Shayla for him. Finish off Shemana Esrei, sort of, and then Minchal daven properly. That's the Imkvah Asbah Yetzohara. I really messed up so far, let's mess up further. No! Rafa'enu, you've messed up? Fine. Stop! From now on, I'm going to daven properly. Baruch Alein Hashem Lekeinu, and daven properly. This woman, she's ended up in some secluded room with this man she's been warned about. Right? And you can imagine, there's probably some chemistry working there. And she can feel think to herself, you know what? I'm already, listen, look where I've reached. A from woman, in a wonderful home, to a wonderful marriage, and I'm ending up in a room with this chap. You know what? I'm nothing. What am I anyway? You know, I'll carry on. Let's just fit in. No, that's it. I'm not going to do it ever again. No. Stop. You're in the middle of doing something? Stop! That's it. Fine. I'm nothing to do this. I'm out of here. The Yetzer Hara, the Koach. To start thinking in the middle of a chet and not to say, you know, I've done so far already, let's carry on. To stop and to realize where you are and to break away and no, I'm not going to do this, although I've gone so far, that's it, I break my fall, I'm not going to carry on with this anymore, that deserves a tremendous, tremendous reward. Because that is the Yetzer Hara of Imkvar Azkvar, the Yetzer Hara of if already, then already, is so strong and it blinds a person. It takes a person with clarity to realize what he's doing and to stop, and that deserves a tremendous reward. It's a very, very, very powerful vote. If you think about it, it is, if a person thinks about this carefully, a person, whatever it is, a person has to speak Lashon Hara, and he starts to speak Lashon Hara. And he's feeling a bit bad about it, but you know, I'll just finish off, I won't speak Lashon Hara again, no, I won't speak anymore the rest of the day. No, stop! Finished! No, okay, I'm not going to speak anymore. That is something that is a very, very potent Yetzer Hara, And for that, she deserves a tremendous reward for fighting that.
So how do you say the words Ukavar Askavar? If you...
If already, then already. Yeah. If already done X, I'll carry on doing X. Okay. The Pasuk says in Perik... Where is it? Okay, Pasuk. Seconds. Yeah. Perik Hay prosecute.
Can I grab a question first? On the fact you the story you brought, you said that it says Kazuk Kilu Yom Bana Abama. And you said Nikol Mikayam, then it's if they're Makru. I don't think if they're Makayam, then.
No, Makayam means you don't go and look for a way out of the Nader. That's what it means, Kol Makayam. Kol Makayam does not mean that I fulfill the Nader and not do it. Kol Makayam means I don't go and look for a Heter. And go for a Heter or for. Yeah. Perik Hay Pasuk Yud. The Ish Es Kadoshov Loy Yiye. Ish Ashi Yitein Lekoyen Loy Yiye. Okay, Rob, go for this. Ish Ashi Es Kadoshov.
The person who.
Kadoshov, no, the Kadusha, the things that are Hekdish. Loy Yiyu.
Will not be.
No, with a Vav. Perik Hay Pasuk Yud. Loy Yiyu.
They were not.
No, you will be to him. Will be to him. Ish ashiyit in
a koyin. A man which is you will give to a koyin. No, it will be.
What does that mean?
No idea.
Well, what's the prophet talking about? Ish ashiyit in a koyin. Ish ashiyit in a koyin. No, yeah. I mean, what on earth? So over here, okay, we actually got pshat, but over here the Balaam must say something very, very, very potent. They say, they give a marshal.
No, how are you translating that? Sorry, I apologize.
We'll see. Okay. We'll see. That's the attempt we're going to be doing now.
Ah.
The Bali Musa, those people who are our ethical masters. Who are they? It can be anyone from the Rishonim all the way to myself. That is his MS.
The
Ish Es Kadoshim Lo Yiyu. They give a marshal, you know, the love of marshal they give is a marshal of a king and a this and a that. I want to give a very practical marshal, something that you'll relate to today. The guy is a fellow who had he had connection with three lawyers. Yeah, he had a friend. He had three lawyers as friends. One lawyer was very, very expensive. Very expensive. Very good or very expensive. The other lawyer had very good connections. Had very good connections. The third guy had a little office, dusty office somewhere. He was alright. Not particularly, you know, nothing particularly impressive at all. Anyway, the guy got caught by the tax people. And he got called to court. And because the tax people got him, they closed his accounts, and he was left with a tremendously pitiful cash flow. So his first friend he goes to and he says, you know, can you help me along here? He says, sure, I'd love to help you, but it's consultation is $250 an hour. $250 an hour? I can't. Listen, you know, I've got people ringing me up 12 hours a day for work. I'm sorry, no, I've got a family to feed. Yeah, okay.
Big family.
Family to feed. Yeah. Next friend he goes to and he says, listen, you know, can you help me? He says, listen, you know, my thing is connections. I tell you the truth, I've got no connections in this field. With the tax people, I've got no connections. In fact, if I start playing around the wrong people looking to my things, who knows? Sorry, I can't help you. The third guy goes to his dusty office, he comes up there and he says to him, listen, can you help me? Sure, I'll help you. How much it costs? Don't worry about it, I'll help you. And he takes him to court and he represents him and he helps him and he... Fantastic! And he breezes through the court case and he wins. Sayyidi Bala Musa, there are three different friends that we have. The first friend we have is our money. Very expensive friend. Our money. The jobs we have. the status we have in society because of our job, the cars, the houses, the jewellery. That's like, when it comes to Meva Esrim, it comes to 120, you know how far that money gets you? Nowhere. It gets you all the way until your grave, until your coffin. Doesn't even get you to the coffin. Yeah, until the coffin, nothing else comes with you. Okay, there are basic batik forests in the world today where they bury you in a Rolls Royce. Quite seriously. In Miami, there's a basic forest that actually bury you in a Rolls Royce, in different cars. But, but this is a guy, money doesn't get you, tachrich, and doesn't have any pockets. That friend's not going to help you bichlal. Not going to help you bichlal. The next thing is, you have a very good standing in community. Yeah, you know people, you know this person or that person, very nice. When it comes to Olam Haba, those people are going to take you until the grave. They're not going to come with you inside the grave. They're going to cover you up, and that's it. They're going to go back home. The third person you really had no connection with, got a little dusty office, and which really just sort of didn't care very much. He's the one that takes it all the way through. Those are our mitzvahs. Those are our mitzvahs. That's the tzedakah we give. The ish es kadoshov lo yiyeh. The kedusha that a person has, lo yiyu, that's going to be his forever. Ish ashiyitin lekoyin. What you think you're giving to a kohen as a tzedakah, as truma, lo yiyeh, that's actually yours. The sum total of your whole life's value is what you give away, what you mashkiah, what you involve yourself in ruchnius. There's a story of the Nosson Tzvi Finkel. That was a great grandfather of today's Nosson Tzvi Finkel.
Yeah, kedusha, that's
what you give. Kedusha is a mitzvah, it's a kedusha. Even if you give away to a kohen, to a regular person, stock, lo yiyeh. And the moshel they give is Reb Zvil, the Zvil Rav, gave a beautiful moshel. Reb Zolti gave a beautiful moshel, a story. Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel was Rosh Yeshiva of Slobodka, the altar from Slobodka, and Slobodka was in Lithuania. And in 1920, they got a message from the government that all the bochrim in yeshiva are going to be recruited into the army. So at that time, the other Rosh Yeshiva was Reb Moshe Motcha Epstein. Was in America collecting money, and Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel sent him an urgent telegram that because of the situation of the yeshiva, unless we emigrate to Eretz Yisrael, we can lose all our bochrim. So he's got a plan to move the yeshiva to Hebron, to the Hebron yeshiva in Hebron. But to do that, it's going to cost $25,000. $25,000 in those days, in 1920s, was probably like $1 million today. Yeah, well, probably about $1 million today, at least. crazy sum to move the whole yeshiva over to buy yeshiva there. She said, listen, I'll do what I can. So Reb Epstein met somebody called Mr. Schiff. Mr. Schiff was a very good friend of his, an extremely wealthy man, and he told him the situation. Mr. Schiff, without blinking, took out his checkbook and wrote him a check for the full $25,000. Quick as he could, he sent the money over to Lithuania, and yeshiva moved over, and he moved to Hebron. Many, many, many years later, in the 1930s, things did not work well. There was depression, and people didn't know quite how much the other person had. So much so that the then Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron was Reb Chaskel Sana. He was in America collecting money, and had a parlor meeting with and Mr. Schiff hosted the parlor meeting in somebody else's house. And Mr. Schiff stood up and he says, my friends, I don't think you know my situation. I was one of the wealthiest people in New York at one stage, but today I live in a basement. I sold my furniture, I have a bed and a chair and a table. My wife is no longer with me, she was nifta, whatever it was. And that is what I own. My money, all my properties have gone, got taken away from me. Everything. There's one thing never got taken away from me. That's $25,000 I gave to the Hebron Yeshiva. I'm Sabotki Yeshiva, the same thing. That was never taken away from me. And that is what's going to remain forever and ever. And he said his posse, Ishis Kadosh of Lo Yiyeh. That's mine. So Reb Chaskel Sana felt so bad, he wanted to lend Mr. Schiff $5,000 in order to help start him off a business again. He was furious. He said, my only thing I have in life is my $25,000. That nobody can take away. You want me to sell that to you as well? I should lose that as well? No way! And that's a person, a simple balabos. Ish es kadosh lo yiyeh. Whatever you own is nothing. It's a mitzvah you have. The money you give away, the money you mashkir, the money you invest in Torah and mitzvahs, that is lo yiyeh. That's what you're going to have. That's what's going to be yours. Okay, that's Parshas Nosi. Let's move on to Shavuos. I wrote this week on the on the parasha sheet something that I saw in the name of Moshe Feinstein. I think it's a fantastic vort, and I think it gives us a perspective that's very, very missing in Shavuos. Every Yom Tov has a symbolism. Pesach, you have the matzahs. Yeah, you have the wine. You have the chametz. You can see it in front of your eyes. Sukkos, you know, as a kid you can draw it. You know, they've got the little four cups of wine. You have the menorah. You got sukkos. You have the abominium. You have the sukkah. Beautiful. Yeah. Even Shavuos, you have Chanukah, Purim. What is Shavuos? How do you draw cheesecake? You know, I think as a child I also had a problem drawing Thai men eating cheesecake. It didn't represent the Yom Tov the way you wanted it to represent. So what did you draw? You drew a Har Sinai with lightning, yeah, flashing of lightning, and little bluchos on top, with nice flowers around the mountain like that. Yeah, very nice. But I was sort of disappointed with the fact that I couldn't relate to something happening this year. I had to relate to something that happened then. Yeah, how do you relate to how am I supposed to feel about what is the symbolism? What are the symbols of actual Shavuos? What are the symbols of Shavuos? What, Red Bull and Red Bull and cheesecake? That's symbols of Shavuos. Difficult to say that. So Lemaisa said something very beautiful. He said that there are two korbanos that took place on Shavuos. One korban was the soir, and the other korban was the shtei alechem. Now, what's a soir for? So the Gemara says a soir was a tshuva for the chet of bringing tumah into the base of Mikdash. A person becoming tumah or bringing an impure utensil into the base of Mikdash, that soir is a sacrifice that repents for that avera. And the Gemara says that truthfully that korban should have been brought every single day. But because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chos al moinam shel Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is worried about Klal Yisrael's money, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, don't bring it every day, just bring it on Yom Tovim, bring it on Shavuos. So that soir is for Shavuos. It's a soir lechatos for the korbanos of the tumah. Asks Rav Moshe, well, how can the Gemara possibly say that this korban should have been brought every single day because of tumah? Do you know how careful they were for tumah in the base of Mikdash? People knew the halacha so well. The kohenim made sure they had guards outside who came and who didn't come in, whether it's Torah or whether it's not Torah. They knew the halacha perfectly. How can you possibly say that every day we should have really brought a korban because of the tumah? Because Baruch is chosen meinam. Why every day? You know, Baruch Hashem, you're dealing here with people who knew the halacha. It's very rare for the tumah to come in. Certainly not every day. Therefore, why should we bring a korban every day? Says Rav Moshe, if that's the case, it's not pshat that we had to bring a korban because of the tumah that actually came in every day. We've got to bring a korban for the tumah that we haven't strived for absolute kedusha. In other words, the korban that we're bringing into the base of Mikdash is because in our mind, our minds are tummy. Not our bodies are tummy. Our minds are tummy. How are our minds tummy? By not striving to connect to ultimate ruchnius, to connect to ultimate spirituality, to connect with the Bein Shleilam, that is coming into the base of Mikdash with tumah. That's coming and connecting yourself still with all the schmutz from the street, and coming into the base Mikdash with all that. That is a korban of the base Mikdash. You have to come in to break away, to bring in the tumah into the base Mikdash. You deserve to bring a korban every day. That's the tumah we're referring to. And on that, Rav Moshe says you can't bring it every day, but on Shavuos at least, when you stand in Kabbalah Torah. That's a symbolism of breaking away from the culture of the secular culture. That's the idea of bringing the soir. On the other hand, says Rav Moshe, don't for one second think that Yiddishkeit is all about being spiritual. It's not. Yiddishkeit is not all about being separated and celibacy and fasting and not enjoying life. Yeah, I honestly, certain secular people who believe that a frum person cannot enjoy ice cream. That's it. It's all over. Once you become frum, you got this black hat and a black stomach, and you can't enjoy anything, and everything is dull and dark, and you automatically get poor, and you know, marriage isn't the same. Your poor kids are just brainwashed into believing everything is miserable. And the fact they do it, it's worth it. You know what? It's worth being miserable for 70, 80, 90 years. After the end of it, at least you get Olam Haba. That is what a secular person thinks. You know, it's an investment. Yeah, maybe those two, you know, some guys willing to be miserable for 70-80 years. Maybe it's worthwhile. I'm not. I'm quite happy where I am. I'll be happy now, and let's see what happens later. Happens later. Says Rav Moshe, that's exactly why you bring the second korban. What's the second korban? The shtei halechem. What's the shtei halechem? Shtei halechem is made out of chometz. This is the only korban that is made as a korban, which a korban brought on the beis hamikdash and on the mizbeach. That is chometz, a delicious bread, much more tasty than any other bread. To teach us that with all the spirituality and connecting yourself to ruchnius and disconnecting yourself from all the schmutz, that's not enough. By doing so, it doesn't come too holy and too lofty. That's not Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is enjoying this world, is appreciating that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us a beautiful world to enjoy, and to use the gashmius in a correct way for ruchnius. That is why we're bringing the most delicious korban on Shavuos, the Shtei HaLechem, that represents ultimate gashmius, together with the soya that represents ultimate ruchnius, and together we combine them, and that is Shavuos. Shavuos is an understanding that Kabbalah Satorah is not something that we mekabel the Torah and become frum and it's going to be all miserable. No, other rabbi, you're going to taste his korban. Every single other yontov. Yeah, there's a machlokes where they need chetzel lechem and chetzel lashem, where they have to actually eat something. Says the Gemara on Shavuos, kula alma be'inon lechem. Everyone holds that you've got to enjoy yontov. You've got to have nice food. Why? Because that is Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is not separating yourself totally from gashmius. On the other hand, is not totally absorbing yourself, totally becoming one part of the world of money and the world of taiva. So therefore, when we look to Pesach, we look at the matzahs and the wine. When we look to Sukkot, we look at the sukkah and we look at the other minim. On Shavuos, what do we look at? We look at the sotir and we look at the shtei alechem. Those are the symbols of Shavuos, of being connected to Rebbeinu Shleilam, but doing it in a healthy, down-to-earth way, appreciating, enjoying Olam Hazeh, knowing how to enjoy this world in the way that Kodesh Baruch Hu told us to enjoy it. Yes. Yeah. Shtei Lechem, isn't that brought regularly? Shtei Lechem, no, Shtei Lechem was only brought on Shavuos. You have the Mincha, Lechem Aponim, but Shtei Lechem was only brought on Shavuos. And that is, those are the symbol, that's the symbolism of Shavuos. Only chometz.
Nice,
of course. Well, it tastes nicer, a piece of challah or a piece of matzah. Yeah, it rose. Although everything else is matzah.
11 months until Pesach.
Yeah. Now, okay, so that is one little piece over here. In Megillah Shavuos, in base Pasuk Dalud, it says as follows. Like, in the back of these, it doesn't say that the Sukkim numbers over here, but I think we'll work out what Pasuk Dalet is. Base Pasuk Dalet.
They have it in these.
Okay, no, okay. Rabbi said, do you have? Yeah, help yourselves. At the back of the thing, base Pasuk Dalet. Dehine. David, go for it. Dehine. Okay.
Yeah. And Boaz came from the house of Beis Lechem and said the Kutsim, since the people doing the cutting
it down.
Hashem is with you. And said to him, Hashem.
Yeah, so the kids, Boaz came along, said to them, how's it going, guys? Great, Bob, thanks a lot. Yeah. And that's it. I mean, that the apostle telling us? The apostle is so concise, boy, and the Rus is so, every word is mamish. And here he has, Boaz comes along, Beis Lechem. Kosi says then, Hashem Mochem, back to Yecha Hashem. Yeah, I mean that's not the way you write a story. You know, he came in and he said hello and they said hello back, and then he carried on. I mean, what's the essence over here? So the Gemara says, in Makkos, is it Makkos? I think it's the Gemara in Makkos that Boaz saw the terrible matzah of Klal Yisrael. Saw that Klal Yisrael were going through a real dilemma. There was poverty, there was hunger, and people Nebuch were losing their self-esteem, people were losing who they were, and Nebuch people weren't keeping the mitzvahs b'chlal. So they made a gezeirah, Boaz and Sanhedrin, they made a decree that a person should say when they say hello, don't just say hello or hi. You should say Hashem. Use Hashem's name in it, which is a big kula, which is a very, you know, I can't use, you know, hello Rob, and say use Hashem's name, Yerechecha Hashem, to say hello to you. I'm using Hashem's name to connect myself to say hello, a nice civil hello to somebody, which is a tremendous chiddush. Yeah, I mean, how can I use Hashem's name to say hello to you? It says Boaz, no, we should do that, and we learn it from here in this pasuk that the halacha is that you should say the name of Hashem like Shalom. Shalom is the name of Hashem. Shalom Aleichem is the name of Hashem, and therefore that's why you should use a Kodesh Baruch Hu name. That's learned from this pasuk. This pasuk is not a random pasuk. What's the idea behind it? The idea behind it is that if a person appreciates that they are connected to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, if a person appreciates who they are, that they are one of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's chosen nation, and even on a casual hello, one connects the casual hello to appreciation that you're one of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's nation, that gave Klal Yisrael a whole new perspective. It gave them a whole new hope. It gave them a whole new paradigm of appreciation and realization of who they are. And that brought them up, and that made them feel good. Rechecha Hashem, Hashem, Hashem's with me. And that gave them a whole new focus. The Medrash says that when he comes...
When was this guy? This is his man of Boaz.
Time of Boaz.
He
enacted this Gezeira. Yes. It says in the Medrash when HaKadosh... What's that? Who says this? This is in the name of Nachas Yosef. It says in... Nachas Yosef. It says in the Medrash that... when at 120, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask us, he's going to say to us, did you make Hashem your friend, and did you make your friend with Hashem? Did you make Hashem your king, and did you make your friend your king? That is a tachlis of Shavuos, the appreciation of realizing that not only do you have to become connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and become dovot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being friendly, being showing a friendly face, being something that is an ambassador of Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah. You walk in the streets, you say hello to people, you travel, you're on the bus, you're in the shops, wherever it is, to become just part of society and who just pushes to survive is not necessarily what Klal Yisrael is all about. Klal Yisrael is all about realizing that we're sons of Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we have to act somehow different, behave different, talk differently, look differently. And that is the idea here of Yerechecha Hashem. It's one last of our Torah over here.
Well, why were they so sad in the time of this?
There's tremendous hunger. People, look at Shvoita Shoftim. Didn't you hear Shvoita Shoftim? Elimelech. You know Elimelech was? Elimelech was one of the very, very choshuva people in Kodesh. You know, who did he marry? Who did he marry? Who did his kids marry?
A princess,
but from where?
Moyov.
From Moyov, Shiksas. His kids marry Shiksas.
There's been worse.
Shoftim. You're not dealing here with regular people. You're dealing with Shoftim. The kids are marrying Shiksas. They're going off the derech, right, left and centre.
You had instruction based on English before this.
No, not before this. No. Here we're talking about, this is a great grandfather of David HaMelech. Yes? This is a great grandmother David HaMelech. So he's dealing here quite a few generations later of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, the concept of Shavuos is appreciating the Shtei Alechem, appreciating the Sa'ir, appreciating that we're different, appreciating that we're so different, they're going to make other people feel good, Yerechecha Hashem, and to realize that what did Ruth go through? What was Ruth going through? She could have gone back to wealth, could have gone back to become a princess, back in a beautiful lap of comfort. And what did she do? What did she do? She preferred to become and start collecting with all their neem in the fields, just a few grains to eat. Preferred to be a Jewess, a poor Jewess, and to be a wealthy, very, very wealthy, high up in society princess. Why? Because without Torah, life is not worth surviving. That's what you have to realize with Shavuos. That's what Ruth teaches us. That she had that choice, and she made a rational choice. We have to see that as a rational choice. It's better to go through the suffering and to become connected to Rebbeinu Shleilam than to go through a lap of comfort and be disconnected. That is a connection we've got to make on Shavuos. That every mitzvah we do is lo yeh, is ours forever. Every blood Gemara we learn, every line of Gemara we learn is lo yeh, is ours forever. To appreciate that the Yetzirah, there are Yetzirahs out there, but at a certain time when you've got to stop and carry on and don't do the Avera. That is a concept over here learnt from Parashas Nosoi and Shavuos. We should mark Gavaldigo Kabbalah for Torah, and we should become as Hashem to Shavuos, properly willing and capable, and be a kli, a very worthy vessel to receive the Torah in the fullest way.